Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
And Growing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan. Thanks to David Dubé and the Concord Group of Companies for getting on board. By Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn. Thanks to Corey Zadorozniak for his support of this podcast, for grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance. Check out Corey Zadorozniak and Double Z Ag Sales out there in Weyburn. Mark Greshner Photography. Check out his awesome photography work at markgreshner.com. He did some work for me, so I can personally vouch for his great work. Boys Next Door Window Cleaning with Nathan and Len, and their website tells you everything you need to know. What a great website, theboysnextdoor.ca. They do window cleaning, also gutter cleaning and pressure washing. Check out those two young go-getters. SAS Selects Football and Zelko Stefanovic out there at the Yar Center. Building the stars of tomorrow, today. Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage in Regina, getting the real estate game with the three-time Grey Cup champion by calling 306-502-53. Time now for our homegrown segment brought to you by Riviere Ag Seeds, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified durum, yellow peas, and chickpeas. And we're joined by BC Lions offensive line coach Kelly Bates from Humboldt, Saskatchewan. COVID-19 has played havoc or wreaked havoc with lots of different things, including your annual football camp. That's kind of a disappointing thing, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has obviously had to make adjustments. Very disappointing, but really just the reality of what we're all dealing with right now. So, we're very fortunate. We have a great backer in Dave Dubé who makes sure our camp goes every year, and he's ensured us that when we are able to put this camp on again, it'll be a go, and that just shows you what football means to people in Saskatchewan and how important a person like Dave is.
What do you like best about putting on that camp?
Oh, boy. It's where I went to high school, and there's so many influential people in that community that have a direct, played a direct part in anything that I've been able to do as a human being and as a football coach and as a football player. So, I feel a little bit of a debt to those people, but at the same time, I feel very fortunate to be able to go back and do something that I know I would have enjoyed immensely as a kid.
It's a hockey town. It's a hockey area. What made you get into football?
We know Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. It is football through and through. It's woven into the fabric of what, the people of Saskatchewan are. And I'm no different from the day I was born to and growing up as a kid. Football was my number one sport. I didn't maybe realize that you could play it or how it worked, but all we did was watch Rider games. We get to go to one Rider game a year. Every summer was spent playing football, and it's the sport I always wanted to play. I just didn't know how you went about it.
Kids nowadays got it easy. I told my son, you can watch every game. We didn't. I used to get excited when we went on a trip to Winnipeg and looked at the schedule. All right, Riders are playing Hamilton at Taylor Field. I can watch the Riders on TV from Regina. It was so cool. Very interesting how times have changed.
Oh, absolutely. It was my birthday present once a year to hit one Rider game. We'd sit up in the nosebleeds in the second level of the new side. And that was the one trip a year to Regina. And I mean, those were great times and memories that are the foundation of who I am and what I try to project to my children. So football has played an important part in my life.
So who was your favorite Rider growing up?
Oh, there's so many. But, being a big fan in the 80s, you always cheered for the home province guys. So Roger Aldag and Bob Poley were obviously two big ones. And then, everybody loved Ray Elgard, loved Dan Farthing, Jeff Fairholm, Don Narcisse. It goes on and on and on.
Yeah, most influential coach in your career, Kelly Bates, coming up.
Oh, boy. See, this is the great thing about football. There's been you go through the different levels, and there's always so many impactful people. I mean, I wasn't a great student in high school, and we had, you know, a recent University of Saskatchewan grad in Kel Hobbs come out and take over our program and really help direct me and show me focus. So at that level, you know, if I don't have Kelvin Hobbs, I don't have what I have today. You know, junior football, we had, you know, our head coach was Dave Hardy. He was very influential. University, obviously, Brian Towers and my two offensive line coaches and Bart Arnold and Travis Sirk. I mean, these are men that I have lifelong relationships with that are mentors and now great friends, and I wouldn't have anything if not for these men.
Coach Dickinson told me it's easy to be a coach on game day. It's the other days of the week. It's not easy. So what's your favorite thing about being a coach besides game day?
I love the process of everything we do. And I mean everything. It's all encompassing, from building relationships with players, with, you know, fellow human beings, to the coaching aspect of teaching the finite or the very detailed aspects of what we do, to game prep, to just the the process of always knowing that we try to get better at that process. We don't always win, we don't always lose, but there's always room for improvement, and that, you know, it's never ending, and there's always a competition built into that, and I love that.
What's your end game in terms of coaching? What do you want? What do you aspire to do? What's your goal? Because you've coached, you've been a head coach at the university level with the SFU. You're back in the CFL. What's your end game?
I think it's more importantly, it's the mindset for me. It's keeping the long term vision in mind. In that, I always want to get better, and I probably didn't have that mindset as a younger person. It was, you want to rise to the top, you want to be a head coach, you want to be a general manager, all of those things, because that's the top. But somewhere along the line, you learn that the process of becoming a better person, of becoming a better coach, doesn't necessarily dictate what position you'll eventually hold or will hold, but it will make you better at what you do, and that's the ultimate win.
How frustrated are you, like a lot of people, I'm sure, that you can't get off the ground here this year, it seems, with the CFL? As we tape this interview, we still don't know what's going to happen. Would you admit it's not looking good? Because there are a lot of obstacles we're going to have to clear. And personally, I know you big linemen like to roll up your sleeves or wear no sleeves and play in cold weather. But I talked to Cody Fajardo, the Riders quarterback. He said he's not really enamored about playing October, November, December football in Winnipeg.
Well, we grew up in the prairies. We know what we're used to. We're used to those things.
You
know what? All I know is this. It is a very fluid situation, and you see that at every level of government and everything in society today, whether you're dealing with the World Health Organization or you're dealing with the health people that are helping us in our home country. Things change on a daily basis, and I think it's very difficult. It's been very difficult to navigate this pandemic, and I think we all have to be very patient and know that the people in positions of leadership are doing something that's they've never had to deal with before, and we need to show patience and ultimately trust their vision and what we're going to do. So do we all want to play football and coach football? I don't think there's any question about that, but it's we're facing something we've never faced before, and where the outcome falls.
Hey, Kelly, you've been, you know, we started this interview talking about the fact you hold an annual summer camp in Humboldt, teaching the young kids. You've coached at the university ranks. Now you're in the CFL. Are you concerned about the future of football in Canada post-pandemic, with funding and everything like that? Are you concerned about that?
No, I'm not concerned about that. I think our game, just like any game, has to adapt with time and adapt with the changes in the world and what the reality is. And I think, obviously, we all see this and we're facing, and we'll all have to be adaptable and move forward. What that looks like, obviously, none of us know right now. But I think the love for the game, what the game teaches in terms of building young men and women and playing an important role in our society, I'm not worried about that at all. But I do think we will have to be adaptable moving forward.
Hey, I think I want to get a comment from you on this. In the world of football, Dwayne Johnson bought the XFL. Maybe we should have asked him for a loan, because he ended his football career at the hands of Wally Buono in Calgary and then went on to be this big superstar. I think XFL 3.0 should play in the fall here. If U.S. college football gets canceled or, you know, moved to the spring, and you only got the NFL to go up against, and who knows, if they don't go with the Hub City, how about the XFL 3.0 playing in a hard bubble in one or two cities, probably one city they could get away with, and having high-end college football players who aren't playing college football in the fall come play there. I mean, the guys that are, you know, seniors or whatever. I don't know. I think it would be a good chance to grab the national attention.
I think that there's probably a lot of ideas like that out there. You know, when it comes to dealing with the red tape of the NCAA, when it comes to, I mean, look at the logistics that you spoke about in trying to get the CFL up and running with what we're trying to do. There's so many hurdles to overcome. There's so many, just so many logistics that are even tough to fathom that, although I love the ideas and I love thinking outside the box, in today's world, our reality is new, and we have to move forward slowly, making sure we cover off health and welfare first.
Kelly, they say never waste a good crisis. So how has Kelly Bates gotten better during this pandemic? What have you done to better yourself? Have you done anything to better yourself?
I'm sure that's debatable. You know what? We've done a few things. There's been the offensive line coach of the Calgary Stampeders, Pat Delmonico, and myself and Dan D'Arazio and a few of us, we've gotten together on weekly phone calls and, you know, shared our thoughts on the way we coach the game of football from the offensive line position. And you know, that's been really rewarding, and feel very appreciative Pat set that up. That's been outstanding. And then from a personal standpoint, I mean, we don't normally get to spend this time with our family.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got two young girls, 10 and 7, and what we've gone ahead and done is things we've never been able to do. We're, you know, right in our own beautiful backyard out in beautiful British Columbia, we have so many hiking trails and so many things we can do as a family on a daily basis, and we're taking advantage of that. You know, I've put a garage gym in our downstairs. You know, things like that, just things we don't usually get a chance to do, but very family-oriented, and, you know, we're making memories. It's things we've never got a chance to do, and we're making the most of it.
Awesome. Kelly, thanks for this. I really appreciate it. Hopefully we'll see you patrolling a sideline soon enough.
Thanks, Ballsy. Appreciate it.
Time now for something I've started called Ballsy's Pick 6, where we break down six stories, and today I got a guest celebrity helping me out here. It's Brendan Tamman of your Montreal Alouettes. How are you today, BT?
I'm not sure how many of your Montreal Alouettes fans are out there, Baldy.
Well, I tell you what, hopefully there will be fans to cheer for a league. I guess I should reword that. Hopefully there will be a league to cheer for on the other side of this. Brendan, first question, shouldn't we just pull the plug on this season? I mean, I don't know why they haven't already, to be honest with you. We can't compare the CFL to Major League Baseball, NHL, NFL, in my opinion, in terms of the money they've got.
Yeah, I hear you, Ballsy. I mean, those decisions are up to people above my pay grade. And, you know, they're obviously doing everything they can to try to get this going, to get on the field, because, you know, we're still in a position where we're still trying to figure out what's going to happen. So, I mean, you could argue it quite strongly with what you just described, but obviously there's people in our league that really want to play. And, you know, I give them credit for doing it. If they can pull this off, that'd be great. You know, if we could find a way to play some football, it'd be awesome. But, you know, I just sit back and do my job and see where the chips fall.
Yeah, I know, and I know what you got. You got to be guarded with what you say. But I found the Tampa Bay Lightning owner's words earlier during the pandemic really revealing. He said the best way to market an asset and grow the audience is having it in front of people and having it on TV. This is about the fans enjoying the sport more than it is about us getting revenue or profits. I mean, we're not profiting from this. In fact, we're losing money, but it's short-term pain for maybe long-term gain. So maybe that's what the CFL is looking at. They want to at least get some eyes on this league this year, because if you're out of sight, you're out of mind, right?
I'm assuming that's probably part of their thinking, for sure. I think, you know, you look at the NHL and the NBA, they've done a really good job, you know, in their situations they've been put into to get their product going. So I think our league's probably trying to, reflect that a little bit in what they're trying to accomplish with what we're dealing with. But there's a lot of challenges that come with that, as we all know. So, like I say, if they can pull it off, good on them. And hopefully they can.
Yeah, two of the challenges, and I talked to Cody Fajardo about this recently on the Sports Cage on CKRM, it would be this: playing cold weather games and starting your season basically in October in Winnipeg, where, October in Winnipeg, you've been there, Brandon, you've lived there, you've been the GM of the Bombers. We can get sub-zero temperatures, and that's not a way to start a CFL season. Never mind that. You got to bring guys up from hot spots in the States. And who's going to opt out? You heard Delvin Brode today say, hey, I'm out. If we're going to play, I'm not playing. Or Brandon Banks, we don't even know who's going to play if we play.
Yeah, there's a lot of logistical questions that come with this if they decide to play. You just described one of the scenarios of many that are, it's going to create a little bit of a headache, to try to figure out who's opting out, and do you got enough guys on your team that you can replace these guys with? But more importantly, who are they to start with? And, if we get the green light to do this, there's going to be a lot of legwork done here in the next month to make it get off the ground and run. So. Mm-hmm. And that encompasses everything. That's, you're having training camp in a season move to eight teams moving to a city. When I was in Saskatchewan, it wasn't hard, but it was a challenge to go up to Saskatoon for training camp.
Yeah.
With the logistics that we were dealt with. And people, I think, overlooked that a lot.
Yeah, but, and especially on the fly, too, right? Especially on the fly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, at the end of the day, we're all paid to win football games, right? So that's obviously on the forefront of your mind. And how are you going to get your best roster on the field? Well, step one is who's on the roster. So,
yeah,
those questions got to get answered. Have you
ever thought, BT, what happens if we don't get a vaccine? It took them 4 years, I was reading, to find the vaccine for mumps. Have you ever thought of a nightmare scenario where we don't have a vaccine? Because let's be honest here, this league year, I don't think any league in the long term can play in a bubble. They need that ticket revenue. But the CFL does need the ticket revenue. Have you thought about that? That would be a nightmare.
Well, I thought about it. 2021 is definitely on the question mark side still with this situation that we're in. And, like you said, I think at the end of the day, we're going to have some kind of revenue in this league being brought in for next year. And hopefully we're in a position with this virus to be able to do that. Whether we can get 30,000 or 15 or 20, teams are going to have to budget that. And if that doesn't happen, that'd be pretty scary, I would think.
I'm going to get to that business model in my extra point here, but story number two, Big Ten college season's canceled, Pac-12 is canceled, looks like we're headed for a complete shutdown, U Sports is shut down. How tough is it to scout with college football on hold, and what does that do to you guys, with the NFL draft pushback? Mm-hmm. How does it affect the Canadian draft? It's got to be a nightmare for guys like you and Machocha.
It's obviously an area nobody in the league's ever been in. Every team's going through this. So I think to evaluate guys, in a normal situation, one of the knocks on guys were, he hasn't played in a year. Well, everybody's going to be in that boat now. Some guys might not have played in 2 years. So it's going to be a different challenge for us. There's no doubt about it. In some ways, it's going to be actually pretty exciting to go through it, just, to get your stamp on the team and try to do a new way of doing things. But economically, with college football in the States not playing, that's a huge hit for them economically. So not a lot of this news is usually pretty good when it comes to all this stuff, but hopefully we can get through it.
Trying to find some positives. I like it, BT. You wonder too, another thing to talk about with this CFL season, we don't have a year this year, and we said question mark for 2021. That puts in doubt guys like Charleston Hughes and Bowman on your team. Will they come back? Father Time, they're on the back half of their career for sure. I know Hughes is still doing a great job, and I won't say Bowman isn't either, but they're playing a very physical position. Put it this way, they're not kickers or Tom Brady.
Yeah, the consistency part is what you always look for in any kind of player at any position, right? Whether you're a quarterback, running back, whatever. So, anybody that plays those positions that have done it throughout their course of the time and at the level that they've done it with, whoever the person is, that's what you look for when you evaluate them.
Okay, the coaches poll would be out now for the Can West. We'd be ranking teams. They'd be in training camp. I know you're a big Can West fan, and you were looking forward to scouting that league. It's always, I think it's the best league in U sports from top to bottom. Do you have some prospects you were keeping an eye on this year that you were looking forward to watching? For me, I was really looking forward to seeing what Kyle Borsa would do this year with the Rams after that layoff because of the suspension. He's one of the guys I was looking at.
Yeah, there was... we're going to have a lot of time to get into this now that with the schedule we're dealing with. But, I sort of went through it once the 2020 draft was over, and I think I had at least a dozen kids that I had really ranked pretty high going into the next year's draft. And I hadn't really got down and dirty evaluating them tooth and comb. But Borsa, I know, was on my list for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The DB from Saskatchewan, Lecumbo, he's obviously up there.
Yeah.
Calgary had several guys. UBC had two linebackers. Just like every year, the Canada West puts out good football players, and I was looking forward to seeing them play. But we'll see where that goes when it comes to the draft.
Yeah, what do you make of a guy like Mason Nias? I know Canadian quarterbacks aren't really relevant, unfortunately. Or a guy like Adam Mackert, who is a heck of a football player. I think Montreal, your team, got the steal of the draft in Colton Claussen, a late-round pick, just the epitome of a football player. What do you think of those two guys with the U of S Huskies, in terms of their ability and what the future might hold for them?
Well, I think, when it comes to Mackert, you're a heck Creighton Award nominee and arguably could have won it. Ability speaks for itself. His challenge is going to the next level will be, and I'm not a believer in this, but I hear it all the time, this is going to be his size, right?
Right.
Is he big enough to go through the pounding? And, I've heard that a lot with the number of kids that have been through it, but I think he can do it. He's proven that he's a tough kid the way he plays. But, again, like I was saying with earlier before and other guys, it's consistency and the ability to do it, and he's going to have to do it the next time he gets on the field to prove to all the CFL people that he can.
I'm interested to see what, because I've been an advocate of Nice, as you know, for a while. The kid can really throw the football around the field. I'm looking forward to seeing how he develops over these next 2 years. And a guy like Josh Donnelly in Regina, who's overcome some injuries. I'm interested to see how those two quarterbacks from the Saskatchewan schools develop. And Bittner, even with the Rams, as a guy coming over from Ottawa, a local kid.
Yeah, and even the kid in Calgary, who's going to take over from Senegar, he's a heck of an athlete that did a lot of good things in the limited time he got a chance to play, and I know there was an age thing going on with him. So, even a guy like him, you're going to get a chance to see play again.
Yeah.
And like you said, the kids in the Saskatchewan schools, obviously they can play. So,
yeah.
Hopefully, at the end of the day, they need to get a chance to show what they can do again before, time moves on here.
In the different conferences, do you find there's a different type of player? Like, is there more finesse guys in a conference, grittier guys in a conference, more rough and tough, like you said, Saskatchewan kids? Like, do you kind of, when you're scouting, do you look at that type of thing?
Yeah, I definitely do. And, part of my makeup is I'm a little bit biased to the West because that's where I've been most of my career. So when you see an O lineman from Saskatchewan or Regina, you already know that he's a tough kid, just because on how he's been brought up and, where he's been groomed and everything. And that doesn't say the kids at Western Ontario or Laval or wherever they come from aren't. It's just, that these kids, generally speaking, out West are in a really tough conference and they play, I call it really hard-nosed football. It seems like the OUAA is starting to open up into more of a passing league, I might say. And the OQs have got really good teams, too. So, and Atlantic Canada will chip in with a guy here or there that's a real good blue chip prospect. So it varies from conference to conference, but I rarely find that the Canada West doesn't put out good, solid football players that end up being pros for a long time.
Would you play in the fall if you were the XFL in a controlled bubble with the Rock running it now? You could even get senior college players, high-end guys that aren't playing because their league's been shut down, and they'd get paid. What do you think about that, first off? Do you think the XFL would be smart to play in the bubble in the fall, football 3.0?
Well, when a guy like The Rock invests the money that he did into that, he's got something up his sleeve, I think. I don't think he's going to throw with his investors that money away down the drain. So they must have a plan up their sleeve, and what you just described is quite interesting. The legalities and the NCAA and all that, how that would work, I have no idea. But it's intriguing what you said. I think there's some merit to it, and I think the other sports that have been playing have proven that bubble probably is the way you're going to have maybe to go to get this thing done. Now, the NFL would argue that, I guess, but yeah, the XFL is going to be interesting to see how that plays out, but he's got a plan. I'm sure he does, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Should college athletes get paid, Brendan? Like, I'm talking in the States, not in Canada, obviously, but in the States.
Well, I don't know if they do in indirect ways already.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, I don't know. I mean, that's been argued for so long, and I'm not really versed on how the ins and outs of the NCAA and all that.
Okay, so here's a better way to approach it then, or a better way to ask it. Do you think because of all of this, and they don't really have a clear person in charge at the top of the NCAA. Conferences are doing their own thing. Players don't know if they're coming or going. Do you think we'll see a college players union maybe? Because they're talking about that.
I would think with everything that's been going on here lately, there's going to be a reset on a number of levels of different, you know, varieties of sports. So I think what you just said about the NCAA getting something like that in place, you know, it's been rumored to be happening for a while. And I think the more this goes on, and especially if they don't play, to protect the kids' rights, I think there's a good chance of that happening.
Before we get to our two-point conversion, two extra stories, story number six on Ballsy's Pick Six, which Canadian team goes further in the playoffs? The Habs, the Flames, the Canucks, or do the Raptors go further in the NBA playoffs?
I think the Raptors go further.
Yeah,
I think they're a really good team. I think they got a great chance to get to the finals again.
Yeah, you think they repeat? Would you say they repeat?
I don't know if they can repeat. The West's pretty tough, but I think the Raptors, I mean, other than Milwaukee, they don't have much in the East to contend with, so I think they got a great chance to get far again.
Okay, do both bubbles hold up, or do we have a shutdown at some point during the NBA and NHL playoffs?
No, they're going to hold up. I'm going to remain confident on that.
Okay, so now into our two-point conversion, some extra stories here. Is it more important? Now, this would be something I saw asked in a college football mailbag, but I thought I'd throw it your way because I think it's might be applicable here too. Is it more important to have a staff filled with good recruiters or a staff that can recruit pretty well, but then the coaching staff develops their guys very well? Like, is it better to have good recruiters or better to have coaches that can develop the talent that a guy like you would bring in?
I'm a little biased when I answer it this way because I think you have to have good recruiters because without the players, coaches can only do so much. What's that saying? You know, you can only, you know, chicken salad and the chicken other thing,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, I know what
so
you're saying.
So I think you have to have good recruiters. And if you look at all those programs down south, Ohio State, and Clemson, and Alabama, obviously, that's a recruiting machine they have down there. And obviously they're going to be good. And if you don't have those kind of guys recruiting for you, you're going to have a hell of a talented coaching staff to get to that level. And not that you can't. I just think it makes it harder. So the odds on success probably are good recruiters, I would think.
Okay, so that leads me into this. Do you think we'll see a reset of salaries in the CFL? Like, they obviously have to present, the league has to present a better business model. Like, you mentioned it, reset in all leagues. I think all leagues are going to reset and look at things. Never waste a crisis. I think it's time for this league. I personally don't think we're coming back. I'm not putting words in your mouth. I think they need to look at this time, reset, come with a better business model. Like, maybe budget for 20,000 fans a game. If you get more, then that's a profit. You know where I'm going with that?
Oh, definitely. And I'm guessing that people in the higher-ups in our league are probably already down that path. Probably budgeting different scenarios going forward. And I think, you know, it's obvious that, you know, football ops people have already taken pay cuts. So that process has already been done in some avenues in regarding to the football operations people, and coaches are going to be affected. Players obviously are going to be affected. So, yeah, I mean, I think until this whole thing goes away and you can get 30,000 people back in your stadium in Regina, that's when you'll know things are back to normal. But then, until then, you're going to have to adjust probably accordingly, I would think.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting and how quick we can get to that. The one thing I've heard people talk about, maybe we should look, can we trim coaching staffs anymore? Can we trim front office personnel, i.e. guys like you? I don't think that's the right way to go. I think you're diminishing the product that way. I honestly think, and I'm all for player salaries, but maybe we need to look at right across the board, look at everybody's salary, front office people, presidents, everybody, and look, everybody's going to have to take a financial hit here to reset this thing.
Well, again, other biased comments coming your way, Ballsy, but I think the one thing that in this league, in the CFL, that people rarely, if ever, complain about is the product on the field. I really believe that. And I think the product on the field has been as good as it's ever been in a long time. So when you start to diminish your coaching staff or diminish your players or how many people are out there looking for guys, I don't know why you do that when things are going so well. And I know there's economic ramifications to what we're dealing with. I get all that. But why would you tinker with something that's one of your best assets of what your league?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
It is what it is. That's a little bias coming
no,
from me. But I get it.
And lastly, BT, what are you doing now? Like, how have you been filling your time? I know you're still knee-deep in it with the Alouettes, but what have you been doing?
Well, it's a really weird time of the – I've never been through this before, because one day you wake up and sort of your thoughts are with, okay, if we go to Winnipeg, how many guys, you know, do we have at this position or that position? And then a week later you're going, well, in 2021, who's going to be left on our team?
Mm-hmm.
And how many guys do we have to recruit at that position? So it's really strange.
Are you at a point where you're like, okay, we could, like, I like this kid, we'll try to bring him in now, or do we wait till 2021? Are you kind of like that too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, depending on, you know, we you know, name or whatever, a film will come across your desk and you're going, geez, I wonder if he can make our team right now, or maybe he's good enough but not this year, so maybe we should wait till next year. Then, oh, well, maybe we should bring him to Winnipeg because maybe he can beat out this guy or that guy. So it's really strange. You know, it's you're sort of trying to figure out what lane you're going to drive through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're just still in neutral trying to figure out which way the direction the car's going. But you're planning for both, but at some point here, pretty quick, we're going to know which lane we're going down.
You guys limited, like before you guys, and I know the teams would go, the CFL teams would go August, September, you know, towards then to look for recruits. Mm-hmm. You guys can't even go to the States, I bet, to go to NFL camps, and the NFL camps aren't the NFL camps we know right now.
No, it's, you know, I'm close to Seattle where I'm at, and their facility and everything is just, that's just not normal. You know, there's nobody, even in within the organization, I think they have to level out people where they can actually access. So there's no way, you know, outside people are going to be allowed in. So we're just going to have to do a lot of it remotely and see how we can do this, which is, again, another new world. And the good news for that from a league's point of view is we're not going to be spending a lot of money on scouting.
Mm-hmm. That's Brendan Tamman. Help me out with Ballsy's Pick 6. Thanks for this, Brendan.
Yeah, you're welcome.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.